is the old, old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program 10 of a series of 260 programs marking the 50th anniversary of WHKP's full-time, full-service broadcasting to this community. For 25 of those 50 years, Mr. Frank L. Fitzsimmons gave to you the early history of Henderson County, the early history and the story of the early settlers. These programs are where Fitz left off. And today, the amazing local young man and his self-designed flying machine. The other day, I happened to drive down First Avenue West from Washington, past Rhodes Street and past Buncombe. And it's amazing how little some of the neighborhood has changed. Oh, there's now a big parking lot for the Church of the Nazarene in the vicinity of the old Horowitz Inn. As a young man, I'll never forget watching the kosher killing of chickens for guests at the Horowitz. By the way, there's a church across the street from Rhodes Street where the Gibbs family once lived. But the rest of the street's still pretty much the same after 50, well, for that matter, 60 years. I remember a huge catalpa tree about a block from our house, which was at the corner of, our house was at the corner of First and Rhodes Street, and the catalpa tree was not only great for climbing, but produced what the kids called Indian cigars. That tree was across the street from the old lily pond, a part of land given by Captain Toms to the city, and which now provides shuffleboarding for primarily summer visitors. On top of the hill next to Tom's Park was where the Tom's home had stood before it burned. And back then you could find hundreds of pieces of brilliantly colored broken glass from the stained glass windows which had been in the house before the fire. And finding pieces of that brilliantly colored glass was like finding buried treasure. The memory of which is most vivid of that era, when we lived on First Avenue, was in the summer, when the word would be passed, "The Iceman is coming." And shortly you'd see the enclosed wagon being pulled by a very large horse, driven by a man wearing a leather apron that covered his entire front. Now this was so that he could carry those big chunks of ice from the wagon into the kitchens or dining rooms of the homes of his customers without getting totally soaked. Our ice man, I always remember, as being kind and understanding of little boys. He would let us either stand on the step on the back of the wagon and ride a few feet to the next house where he'd make another stop, or occasionally he'd even let you climb up in the wagon and gather slithers of ice from the wooden floor where the chips had flown as he used his ice pick to separate the huge blocks into the exact quantity ordered at each house. And on First Avenue in those years, this would be back in the early 30s, I watched a man learn how to fly. I considered that man, one Oscar Meyer, to be the bravest, the most heroic man on earth, and here's why. In those years, there was virtually no traffic on First Avenue, and yet, even back then, it was the big, wide, smoothly paved street it is today. Oscar would make a set of wings in which he would attach to his arms. He would don a pair of roller skates and then get somebody with a car to tow him down the street, accelerating gently the further down the street they'd go until suddenly he would lift off the pavement, soar maybe 15 to 20 feet in the air, and actually fly with those outstretched wings. It was awesome. He wore no protective clothing, and if the tow rope had broken or if he had miscalculated, First Avenue would not offer a gentle welcome to any sudden descent. Oscar would make practice runs, and then he'd go back and change the design of his wings ever so slightly, constantly refining the model that he would ultimately build. To my knowledge, he was the first local man to learn to fly, and he developed a real dedication to encourage others to take up what was then just a sport. To promote interest in flying on Sundays, the word would be passed, "Oscar's going to fly today," and a crowd would quickly gather out at his pasture field on Shepherd Street to observe. He would do a drunk flying act, where he would cause the plane to weave and swerve all over the field and just till just before he ran out of pasture land, and then the plane would miraculously rise into the air. Once up, he would continue to maneuver the plane most erratically until finally, from perhaps 1,500 feet, he had spun out a roll of toilet tissue, and then with smooth and brilliant maneuvering would proceed to repeatedly fly the plane through the tissue, shredding it as it came to the ground. No one knows how many local men not only were inspired by Oscar Myers, but were actually taught the skills of flying by him. I ran across a picture and a story about a Jack Edney, who was a carrier boy for the Times News back then, and was commissioned in the Air Corps at Kelly Field. Jack was the son of Mr. and Mrs. Fred Edney, who lived at Flat Rock and then later moved to Chapel Hill. And it's obvious he got his first introduction to flying from Oscar Mayer because he was commissioned in September of 1940, long before the U.S. entered World War II. Monday, we'll tell you how Oscar pulled ice skaters from his airplane. Just another fantastic memory of a seventh child who was born in Hendersonville, had the good sense never to leave, and who's had a job doing what he loved to, not just for 50 years, but for a lifetime. Source some corda as we move into the next 50 years.